This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Last night, I interviewed Dave Barry for Writers on a New England Stage. Among the many, many funny observations he made is that gluten is now public enemy number one.
I don't know. I can remember Call Me an Old Guy when gluten was okay and we ate it freely. But now, it's considered very dangerous. I believe you could hold up a bank with gluten. You know what I'm saying? Do what he says. He's got gluten, you know?
All joking aside, celiac is a serious autoimmune disorder caused by a reaction to a gluten protein that affects 1 in 100 Americans. A much larger proportion of the population is embracing a gluten-free diet and claiming better skin, more energy, and fewer allergies as benefits. Dr. Stefano Guandolini is medical director at the University of Chicago's Celiac Disease Center. He and his team have been studying occurrences of non-celiac gluten sensitivity, and he joins us now to talk about some of the facts and fallacies of the gluten backlash. Dr. Guandolini, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How long have humans been eating gluten, and what is it exactly?
Well, gluten is a storage protein that is found in some grains, and specifically wheat, rye, and barley. Gluten appeared in a human diet about 10,000 years ago with the agricultural revolution. Until then, for the previous 240,000 years or so, there was no gluten in the diet because man was a hunter and gatherer. So this protein is really unique in that it is very hard to digest for the healthy human intestine, that is, and not everybody adapted to this new strange protein in the diet, and so some intolerances originated around that time.
I guess this is part of the argument that we as Homo sapiens are not meant to be eating gluten, especially for those who have celiac disease. Could you describe the disease and how it relates to gluten?
Sure, I will in a moment. Let me just also take the opportunity, because you asked, you said about the fact that man was not supposed, was
this,
not born
this
with
is
gluten.
The claim by a lot of people, you know, the
sure,
paleo dieters.
Sure. Yeah, well, then you should be consequential with that and also eliminate all forms of milk, because, of course, man was not supposed to eat milk from cows or from goats or any other mammal. Then we should not eat eggs, because, of course, they also are part of domesticated culture. You know, it goes a long way. Once you start going that route, there is no ending there. Anyway, so going back to celiac disease, it's actually a pretty common condition. It's the most common inherited food intolerance worldwide, with a prevalence estimated currently to be around 1%. And this number seems to be repeating itself no matter where you look for celiac disease, meaning in North America, in Europe, in the Arab world, and so forth. Individuals who have celiac disease, when they eat gluten, they develop a strong immune reaction, which is an inflammation of the small intestine. And that, as a consequence, leads to destruction of some areas of the intestine called villi. Now, villi are finger-like projections that help increasing the absorptive surface of the intestine. So your digestion and absorption for many nutrients goes down. The so-called typical or classical presentation of celiac disease is gastrointestinal, with the chronic diarrhea, with abdominal pain, bloating, in children, failure to thrive, in adults, weight loss with malnutrition. Now, truth be told, we are seeing less and less of this typical presentation. And in the last decades, we are seeing more and more of more subtle symptoms, or symptoms that do not even belong to the gastrointestinal tract at all. For instance, anemia, osteoporosis, the skin condition called dermatitis herpetiformis, or DH. You may then have also conditions such as short stature. Joint pain and even joint swelling can be found in 6% of those who have celiac disease. What is of interest is that we have also found that a good portion of celiac patients, probably the majority, actually may have minimal or even no symptoms at all. So it's hard to make the diagnosis.
Well, how is celiac diagnosed?
Well, nowadays we are lucky because we have a very reliable, very accurate screening test, which is very sensitive. It's a blood test that tests some antibodies. They seem to be elevated in about 98% of celiac patients. So in other words, only 2 celiacs out of 100 do not have elevated levels of this test. Hence, it is very good for screening purposes. If you suspect celiac disease, you need to go ahead and confirm the diagnosis with an intestinal biopsy.
We're speaking with Dr. Stefano Guandolini. He's founder and medical director of the Celiac Disease Center at the University of Chicago. What is happening, however, in our contemporary U.S. and around the world, a number of people who do not have celiac claim to benefit from a gluten-free diet. So are there other types of gluten sensitivities other than celiac?
That's an excellent question, and the answer is yes. We have come to learn in the last years, really, that there are two other entities that can be attributed as, you know, to gluten as responsible for them. One had been known for a long time. It's wheat allergy. Outside of this, then, there is another condition, which is now being defined as non-celiac gluten sensitivity. We don't know how prevalent it is, but we think roughly it may be the same prevalence or maybe slightly more than celiac disease, so about 1%, 2%. And the symptoms are essentially identical to those with celiac, so they include gastrointestinal as well as non-gastrointestinal symptoms. Oftentimes, people quote things like foggy mind, fatigue is very common, and then GI symptoms, bloating, abdominal pain, etc. This entity, unfortunately, suffers right now from a major, major drawback for us, and that is we have no biomarkers for it. In other terms, we cannot make a positive diagnosis with any laboratory means.
Huh.
So if you do a biopsy in this patient, you find it a completely normal intestine. If you do tests for antibodies, you find them to be normal. Many websites are actually proposing sophisticated tests, even algorithms, to diagnose gluten sensitivity. In reality, this is false information. There is no biomarker for non-celiac gluten sensitivity. Hence, we have to rely only on patient's history, which makes it, you know, sometimes difficult to be sure.
People are talking about the benefits. Oh, I have better skin without gluten. I have more energy. My irritable bowel syndrome is cleared up. What's the theory on that? Why is going without gluten working for so many people?
Well, first of all, people feel better if they really want to feel better. I don't want to minimize, but at least in part, I believe that people are presenting the placebo or nocebo effect. Thereby, they feel better off gluten and they feel worse when they eat gluten. If you do this in a blinded fashion, some studies have shown that actually up to 50% of those who report some specific intolerances, not just gluten, but say lactose or what have you, mm-hmm. when tested properly in blinded fashion, they are able to actually document that there is indeed no such intolerance. But I am actually open and believing that in many people, removing wheat, rye, and barley from their diet actually is beneficial. Why is that? Well, in some cases, it's because if you have irritable bowel syndrome, you may actually suffer from more sensitivity to foods that belong to a category called FODMAP. It's an acronym, F-O-D-M-A-P, FODMAP.
Mm-hmm.
It boils down to the fact that some carbohydrate content of food, such as grains, are actually causing some symptoms because they are not well digested, and they can cause bloating, they can cause gassiness and pain. And so I would suspect, in part, those who eliminate gluten and feel better is because they are sensitive to FODMAP.
Are there any possible negative effects of following a gluten-free diet, particularly for those unafflicted by celiac?
Well, first of all, let me just go back one quick second. Gluten-free diet is the only available treatment for celiac disease. And patients with celiac disease really need to be on this diet. It's a medical necessity for them. That said, for those who don't need the diet, I actually would claim that there may be risks because, indeed, when you rely heavily on gluten-free products that are manufactured as gluten-free, you end up having foods that are somewhat richer in calories,
uh-huh.
in fat. They have less fibers. So you may actually run into some deficiencies and your diet becomes a little bit unbalanced if you rely heavily on manufactured gluten-free products. Of course, if you go out, you know, and buy your own produce from reliable producers and you eat, you know, healthy diet without gluten, then there is no risk. Nobody really needs gluten. From a nutritional standpoint, gluten is rather poor protein, doesn't really offer much.
That's a question. Is gluten sensitivity as widespread as this rise of gluten-free products that some are claiming? I mean, how can that even be tested, Dr. Guandolini?
I don't think that the current explosion boom of the gluten-free market really reflects real needs. Probably the majority of those who follow a gluten-free diet do so because they think it may be beneficial, it may be healthier. And in addition, they don't follow a strict diet. They occasionally eat normal gluten-containing food. People have done that and claim they feel better, but, you know, they have gluten now and then. So this is really a nonsense. It makes no sense from a scientific viewpoint. I do think that following a gluten-free diet has become like a fad right now. You know, there have been times in which there was the Miami beach diet or the no-carbohydrate craziness in the early 2000s and so forth and so on. So people seem to have lost common sense and just enjoy the many good things that life put on our table with moderation and with a variety of food.
So you're not giving up your pasta, Dr. Guandolini?
Are you asking if I give up my pasta?
Yes.
No, I eat pasta often. I'm Italian, after all. That's my bias, so I like pasta.
Dottore Stefano Guandolini, founder and medical director of the Celiac Disease Center at the University of Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us.
Prego di niente. Arrivederci.
There's more in his work and on the upcoming International Conference on Celiac Disease that will be in Chicago this fall. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. And this morning, as we were putting the show together, we heard of the New Hampshire-based band Bramble Jam, who are one of many bands, it seems, these days, who are writing songs about being gluten-free.
I know just what she means. You see, I've got a pair of jeans, hand-me-downs from Dad. It means no eating.
Stay with us for a live performance from another New Hampshire band, Tanned Vampires. That's when Word of Mouth continues after the break.
My grandpa, he gets there when he eats shellfish. I used to